Date was 2009, and the place was Thunder Bay. An 8-year-old boy was in his Sunday school class, and he proudly announced to the whole Sunday school class that next Sunday he was going to be baptized. And his Sunday school teacher told him that she was really, really proud and great, that this was, she was really excited that this was happening, told her. Then he said, "And I'm going to take my goggles." And she was curious about why he would want to wear his goggles during the baptism service. You know, you're just being dunked under the water and that's it. You come back up right away. Your eyes are closed. And so she asked, "Why are you going to wear your goggles?" And he replied, "So I can see my sins being washed away." Now, children often have a very simple and straightforward way of viewing things. And it's only when we get a little bit older and more mature, we start to make things a little bit more complicated. Not necessarily make more sense, just more complicated. Just a few weeks ago, there were lots and lots of houses in here in Winnipeg decorated with gravestones, with men hanging from nooses, with images of dead people all over the yard. Most everyone that's doing this is done in tongue-in-cheek. It's not meaning to be anything overly evil by it, at least I hope. But there's no avoiding the fact that many people decorate their homes at Halloween. Well, I heard about a preacher who refused to baptize someone on Halloween. It turned out that Halloween was a Sunday, and this young girl wanted to be baptized on Halloween, and he outright refused. He says, "No, I will not do that on Halloween, because Halloween is all about death." His concern that the season reserved for ghosts and goblins and the walking dead, for many people, Halloween celebrates death. And I understand his concern, but this preacher was concerned about the effect it might have on this young girl, about being baptized in the season of death. Now, I understand what bothers this preacher, but I am convinced that his fears are based on false ideas. The first of which is that it would be wrong for this girl to connect her baptism with death. Because to me, baptism is all about death. Everything about baptism has to do with death. Let's take a look at a passage from Romans. I know we finished Romans last week, but I got to ease my way out of it, folks. In Romans chapter 6, we read, "What then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Now look again at verses 3 and 4. "Don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." In order to become a Christian, you have to die. You have to die to the past. You have to die to your old way of life. You have to die to sin. That's why verse 2 says, "We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" And verse 6, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but verse 6 is, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." One preacher put it this way, "Did you know because of the resurrection of Jesus that there are dead men walking all over the earth? They are not zombies. They are not the undead. They are not men on death row. They are born again believers in Jesus Christ. We were alive to sin, dead to Christ. But in Christ, our position has changed. Our situation has been reversed. We used to be alive to sin and dead to Christ, but now we are dead to sin, but alive in Christ." Again and again in the New Testament, we're told that in order to belong to Jesus, we have to die. We have to die to our past sinfulness, to our old way of living. And now, we all know what you do with a dead person, right? Brandon, what do you do with a dead person? You bury them. You don't keep them around. You bury them. And that's what we have to do with our old life, with our sinfulness. We used to be alive to sin, but now we're dead to sin. And baptism was God's way of driving that truth home. Baptism was meant to remind us that our past is now gone, that the old man of sin is dead and buried. Our sinful past doesn't exist anymore. It's buried. We leave it. We walk away. And Romans 6 tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we're buried with him. And that's why baptism is all about water. Jesus was baptized. We read that John the Baptist, he says, John chapter 3. "Now John also was baptizing at Ainon near Salam, because there was plenty of water." So we know that when Jesus got baptized, there was plenty of water, because that's where John baptized. Plenty of water. And Acts chapter 8 tells us about the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, "Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." I'm going to try and duplicate that this morning. No. No matter how you look at it, the two men went down into the water and they came up out of the water. That's what it says. Baptism required water because it represented a physical death and burial. If one of those who are going to be baptized this morning goes into the tank and I lower them into the water, as they're lowering them into a grave, and then I left you there, what would happen? Well, first of all, I would probably never do another baptism again. And I assure you that the one who is in the tank wouldn't appreciate me all that much. If I kept them under the water, they would die. And then we would need to take them to a real grave. But we don't leave you there under the water. We raise you up out of the grave. You might say we raise you up from the dead. And that's part of the genius of God. He designed our baptism not only to represent our death, but also to reassure us that one day we will rise from the dead. And that's why we have Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "We therefore buried with him." We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, baptism is all about death and burial and resurrection. And it's symbolized by being buried in the water. It symbolizes our sins being washed away. And you don't need goggles to see it, because that's already been done. Besides, not only would it be more difficult and not to mention scarier if we baptized in dirt, we'd get you in there and then try and raise you up out of that dirt, you'd come out dirtier than when you went in. What kind of symbolism is that? We use water to symbolize that washing. And one overriding truth is that baptism always takes place after you believe. There's not a single case in the Bible where baptism came before belief in Jesus. And in the early church, or in the early days of the church, baptism was a declaration that the believer was definitively identifying himself with a group of people who were called Christians, and that group of Christians was despised by everybody else. They were hated. So to be a Christian meant something. To identify yourself with those who were called Christians meant persecution, maybe death. It meant being ostracized from your family, shunned by friends. And the one act which was the final declaration of your identification with Christ was your baptism. Because as long as man gathered with Christians, he was tolerated. But once he submitted to baptism by identifying himself, I am a part of this group. I am publicly declaring it through baptism. When he made that decision and he declared to all the world that I belong to Jesus Christ, I don't care if you despise him, I don't care if you despise me, the persecution was ramped up. As you stand in the water waiting to be baptized, you symbolize Jesus dying on the cross. And as you're lowered into the water, you're providing a visual demonstration that Jesus was buried in the tomb. And as you come up out of that water, you're picturing Jesus rising from the dead. John Piper, he catches the significance so well when he said, "Baptism gets its meaning and its importance from the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died in our place and for our sins, and from his triumph over death in the resurrection that guarantees our new and everlasting life." And since you are personally being baptized, you're also saying, "I died with Jesus. I was buried with him. And now I am raised with Christ to a brand new life. And it's my intent to live my life under his leadership for his glory from this point on." In essence, a believer's baptism is a funeral. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to those watching. The person we used to be is dead and buried, and we have been raised new, in a new life. Now, there are two illustrations that help us understand this concept of identification. And on Friday, when I was having lunch with Silas and Kyle, this idea came into my head, and I think it's a beautiful illustration. A beautiful idea, because it has to do with food. There's this wonderful veggie called a cucumber. Now, they are great to eat. They're crisp and crunchy veggie. They sometimes are sweet and hopefully not too bitter. And they are great to eat alone or in sandwiches or in a salad. But the best way to enjoy a cucumber is when it has been transformed into a baptized cucumber. It's a technical term in the Greek called tousē, which means pickle. See, when cucumbers are put into that pickling jar and covered with the pickling juice and sealed, they don't stay the same. In fact, the effect of the juice on the cucumber changes it so much, it gets a new name, the pickle. It gets a new taste, a new texture, and even a new feel. And this happens because the juice changes the characteristic of the cucumber. Like the pickling working from the outside in, the Holy Spirit works from the inside out. Because it is a baptized cucumber. And when we are baptized, we are changed. We are changed when we come to know Christ, but when we make that public declaration, we change. Holy Spirit just changes us from the inside. Now, the second illustration is that of a wedding ring. When a couple gets married, they almost always begin to wear wedding rings. And a wedding ring doesn't make someone married, because some people choose not to wear their wedding ring. They just don't, for whatever reason. And yet they're still legally and truly married, right? See, the ring represents the solemn commitment of a man and a woman to become husband and wife. It's a public testimony to that commitment. And the wedding ring identifies a wife with her husband and a husband with his wife. It's a public symbol of a private commitment. And just as the ring declares, I'm taken, I belong to another, so in baptism, the believer declares, I'm taken, I'm a believer, and I belong to no one other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to Jesus Christ. And having said that, baptism is much more than just a symbol of salvation. John Piper reminds us that there are two ways of symbolizing something. If we were to write the word love on a blackboard for a group of second graders and tell them that this word represents an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person, that's one kind of symbolism. But when I took Jess out almost 20 years ago and put a ring on her finger and asked her to marry me, and in giving her that ring as a symbol of my love, there was something much more different than simply writing out the letters L-O-V-E. Something completely different. And when I gave her the ring, I was expressing my love through a symbolic action. And in a similar way, baptism is a sweet symbol of our faith, an expression of our love and commitment to live under the Lord's leadership for the rest of our life. Now, I know our kids are in junior church right now, but we're going to call them out because there's kids getting baptized, and I think even both of them are in junior church at this time, so we need to get them back in this room. And while they're coming, I want to answer two questions that are so often asked about baptism. Well, how important is baptism? How important is it to be baptized? Let me say this. If you're not a believer, don't get hung up on baptism. It's not for you yet. Don't worry about it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ first, and then be baptized. Baptism should not start an argument. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And this teaches us that baptism is important, but salvation is far more important. So I feel that every believer should be baptized out of obedience to Christ, but it's not a requirement to be saved. And the second question is, when should baptism be performed? Well, if we look at Scripture, it should be as soon as possible. As soon as you become a Christian, get baptized. In fact, in the book of Acts, it's often happened immediately after someone got saved. Baptism was once the first thing the believer took care of. As soon as they became a believer, they were baptized. There's no real reason to put it off. But in our situation, there's some logistics. We need to take out this wonderful tank. We need to fill it. We need to warm it. So immediately afterwards doesn't usually work. I would love to keep the tank up here warm all year round because we were having somebody baptized every week. But remember that baptism is not a mark of spiritual maturity, but rather a statement of personal identification with Jesus Christ. So for some, that takes a while to process in their own lives. You become a Christian, and at the point where you begin to personally identify with Jesus Christ and you want baptism, you don't have to wait until your spiritual life is where you want it to be. It's an obedience issue, not a maturity issue. And some of you may be wondering if it's too late to be baptized. Maybe putting it off because it's too scary to even think about. You have to get in front of everybody and get wet. And then they see you with your hair. Your makeup may run. That's why I don't wear makeup, really. But maybe you haven't been convinced. Over the years, I've had the privilege of baptizing individuals who were brand new Christians. And some who have been believers for virtually their entire lives. It's always your choice to act out in obedience to Christ. So please let us know if you're ready to take the plunge. Not today. Well, let me know afterwards. We'll talk about it. I know that there are a couple of other people who are interested in baptism, but it just didn't work out for this week. So perhaps in January, when it's a little bit warmer, we'll pull out the tank once again. There are three this morning who have made their choice to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism. So I'm going to call up somebody particularly special to me, because she's my niece. She's my first niece that I get to baptize. Likely my only niece that I get to baptize. So Cadence, would you come up? And if the rest of the family, if you guys want to come and sit up front, get pictures, come on up. I've got a few questions to ask you. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but there you go. Can you tell me what your full name is?
Cadence Noel Schneider.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And is it your choice to be baptized today?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you want to be baptized?
So that people know I believe in Jesus.
Okay. Do you have a favorite verse that you would like to share with us?
Yes.
Can you tell me what it is?
She will have a son. You will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21.
All right. So I'm going to stand you over here. Turn around. Face your mom. Plug your nose. Cadence Noel Schneider, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't remember when this one was born, but I remember when she came to Canada. You join me in the tank, Natasha? It's warm. All right, this is when it gets tricky. And can you tell me your name?
Natasha Martins.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And is it your choice to be baptized today?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you would like to be baptized?
Because I want the world to know that I believe in Jesus. Okay.
And do you have a favorite verse that you want to share with us?
I do. Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Who's that?
Proverbs.
9:10. Sorry.
That's okay. All right, so let's stand over here. And Natasha Martins, fucking nose. Based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there's one more that needs to be baptized this morning, but I'm going to turn this one over to her grandparents, because they're going to baptize her.
Okay. Okay, do you want to tell everyone what your full name is?
Kiana Tatiana Amihud.
Kiana, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And why do you want to be baptized?
So everybody knows that I believe in Jesus.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite verse?
She'll have a son. He'll name him Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21.
You first have to say something. Don't take your breath too fast.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. Kiana, on your confession of your faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm so kinkled.
Yay! I'm so kinkled.
So kinkled.
All right, we're going to call up the worship team, and they're going to